Ideally, I don't want it, so that's why I'm getting the booster, but I, you know.
Apparently, he's immune to COVID.
Well, yeah, he's immune to everything. He's immune to criticism as well.
He's immune. He's immune. God bless him. We might have to talk about him. Enough of the small talk. We're back. We're back, baby. I'm talking about playoffs. Okay.
The energy.
It's over the top, okay? I've got Isaiah Thomas energy, okay? At a 10 today.
I got playoff fever, baby.
I bet this is like...
Where's my jab? Where's my jab?
Dear listener, sorry. That wasn't the proper intro. You're listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. I haven't recorded so long that I couldn't even find the Anchor app on my phone. Did you know this? That Anchor got bought by Spotify?
Maybe.
And more importantly, how come we weren't informed of this? Where's our...
Why didn't Spotify CEO message us personally? Let us know that, hey, is it okay if we do this business deal? Like, will it affect you guys in any way?
Do we sign any contracts? I don't...
Definitely sign something.
I feel like we need to get something.
We're like Kyrie. We don't have, you know, we don't have representation, you know, representing us.
Oh my God, we might have to talk about this later, Kyrie Irving, and also more importantly that terrible owner Mark Cuban, who went on the attack before the playoffs about Jalen Brunson, criticizing his parents, saying that whenever there's family gets involved, that's when things go to shit.
Okay.
Does Mark Cuban know that literally he's going to be negotiating with like Kyrie Irving's mom or stepmom, the auntie?
Anyway,
or
some familiar relation.
It's family, right?
It's family, yeah.
But most importantly, it's the NBA playoffs again. Talk to me, Kane. We have to record this show today because we want to get our picks in before officially the playoffs starts. And we just finished watching the Wolves and Thunder game. Start with that bracket and that game. OKC and Wolves. Any comments there?
I mean, it was an awesome play-in series, huh? Like every single game except this last game, Wolves and Thunder, was like amazing. Like every game went to the fourth quarter. Like even the Wolves and Lakers game, even though that was like a bit tragic in terms of them turnovers, it was such a fun game. Like it was such a fun game. Like what could go wrong next? And just when like Dennis Schroeder hits that game winning three, AD decides to jump into Conley's body, but like you know, props to Conley. Conley clutch hits three free throws, like 0. whatever, 1 second left to tie the game. And then the screaming girl who turned out to be DeMar's daughter, like at first it was like so annoying. I was like, who's that screaming? Like who's that person like screaming every single free throw attempt by the Raptors? And this was also in Toronto as well. But it worked, like they shot 50% from the free throws. Historically bad for any NBA team to shoot 50% from the free throw line. That's like an amazing stat. And I kind of knew it too because there was a report that came out like today talking about how DeMar and Dier, the daughter that was like screaming, had to be escorted by security, by the team security.
Oh, really?
Like out onto the bus or back onto the plane or whatever. Yeah, of course. Like doing this in opposing team's territory, like whatever... love Toronto had for the DeRozan family is like gone. Like whatever statue or jersey you're going to commemorate him, it's like it's gone. All the goodwill is gone in Toronto.
Well, I think she's taking advantage of the fact that we're probably hardwired to respond to like basically like a girl, like a small girl screaming.
Yeah. But it was a 4-point game and they missed 18 free throws. That's like, you know what I mean? Like they should have won the game, first of all. Like they choked, obviously. Toronto obviously choked. But you're handed the game. Like Siakam was fouled at the 3-point line and given a chance to tie with three free throws, like Conley. And he missed two of them. Like what more do you want to get back into the game? And like, yeah, they just choked basically. But I thought that was really amazing. And I just thought every playing game was amazing.
Okay, so now that the brackets are set,
let's just caveat that we might change it slightly. Actually, from this conversation, like, we do have the right to change. It's not locked in right now. Like, we could change it. I'm using this as a safe space for us to talk through our picks, and maybe there'll be a chance. Hey, last year I changed your mind on like half your picks.
Okay, look, that was last year. Okay, I'm living in the now. Okay. I live in the now. Look, Kane. If you wanna be a little bitch like Rudy Gobert and sit out this one,
I'm not sitting up. I'm just using common sense. I literally spent 1 minute like picking the teams that like I have a gut feeling on, but I could be persuaded. That's what I'm saying.
So let's start with the West. Number one seed Nuggets versus the Wolves.
Yeah, we both got the Nuggets going through.
That's no surprise. The question is how much of a challenge are the Wolves? And I give the Wolves two games.
Which is quite admirable considering they just went through two play-in games and we saw how pathetic and hopeless they were against the Lakers and all the injuries that they went through. You giving them two games is quite good. Like, getting to six is pretty good. Like,
I think this is a more reflection of how little confidence I have in the Nuggets rather than the Wolves.
But how can you have so little confidence? Well, Jokic is like, should be MVP in like a lot of people's eyes.
Jokic was the front runner for MVP, but
he's still top three.
He's still top. Well, I mean, I don't count number two. Okay, I only care about number one. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
China number one.
Okay. All right. I gotcha.
The thing with the Nuggets is that over the past month, they've been kind of in a cruise mode and they haven't really played well, even with Jokic back. And I've heard from some sources, in fact, that Mr. Mike Malone's job may not be as secure as we thought.
Who?
Mikey Malone. Mitch. Mitch Malone.
Mitch.
Mikal Malone.
Imagine if the interviewer just kept asking, like, kept talking, like, that's not my name. That's not my name. Like, whatever. Mitchie Mitch Malone.
Mr. Michael Malone. Michael Malone. His job may not be as safe as we thought, especially if we have a disappointing playoff run again this season.
I'll put it this way. The Wolves look good against the Thunder, but that was against the Thunder. Like, they weren't supposed to be in the like anywhere near the play-in, to be honest, given the injury to the draft pick, Chet Holmgren, and we didn't know, like, you know, what Josh Giddey was going to develop in his second year, and obviously Shea is good, but this was still a very young team, but like a lot of rookies. They had two rookies starting in today's game, and the two Jalen Williams. So you can't, like, use today's game, the Wolves had, like, they dominated the Thunder, as, like, the barometer of how good the Wolves can be. Because at the end of the day, they lost their best perimeter defender through like a stupid punching the tunnel, like fractured hand. They lost a backup center, Naz Reid is, you know, a great backup center. Rudy Gobert is Rudy Gobert, so we don't know exactly what we're going to get consistently out of them. And the Nuggets are healthy. This is like the first Nuggets team in the last 3 years where they're coming to the playoffs completely healthy.
Right, so that's why you give the Wolves three games.
Having said that, I think I'm expecting more out of Anthony Edwards. I think Ant could have some kind of like, he's had a great regular season. He actually could get some all-NBA votes, to be honest. I don't think he'll make it, obviously, but he will get some votes for sure. And Kat is a beast. And if they can rely on the strengths of Rudy Gobert and Kat dominating the paint and getting around Nikola Jokic, who's obviously not a very good defender, I think they can have some wins for sure. But end of the day, just like we saw last year, the Wolves just, and this year as well, they just give up leads. They have no way of, they're not battle tested to protect leads and be dominant in fourth quarters. They just give it away. Even if they somehow win, it's like just a squeaker at the end of the day. So that's why I think the Nuggets, they're playoff ready, they're healthy, and I think they'll just get by the, like, I think it's a 7-game series, I think. I'm sticking by that. I was tossing between 6 and 7, but I have a good feeling that the Wolves will push them to 7. Because also, they're coming with some momentum as well into the playoffs, I feel.
I respect that pick, actually. And I think that could be it's very possible to see seven games there.
Also, it could be a sweep as well.
No, I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I really don't think
it's going to be a sweep. You think the Wolves are good for at least one or two?
From my perspective, it's more about the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets are way more vulnerable than you think they are.
They're healthy, but they don't have any depth. And Bruce Brown, for sure, is going to be a pivotal role player, for sure. He's going to play some small ball for... but I don't know what Reggie Jackson can give anymore, and Thomas Bryant.
Both agree Nuggets are going to advance. It's just a matter of how much of a challenge. All right. Number 4 seed Suns versus number 5 seed Clippers.
Well, we both got 7 games. Did you change your answer?
I didn't change anything.
Okay. Well, you copied me. I thought this would be more of a conversation. I said Suns in 7 only because... Paul George is going to be out until the second round. Like, it's already been confirmed. He's not going to be ready for the first round against the Suns. I just think... I was really high on the Suns. Like, I think the Suns might win the West, but I just have a feeling KD is going to pick up... I just have this, like, horrible, horrible idea that Kevin Durant's not going to be healthy at some point and Chris Paul is not going to be healthy at some point. I can't rely on Suns' health because without those two guys, they have no depth at all. Suns have zero depth behind them.
No, that's true.
So I think, and Kawhi Leonard is playing the best basketball right now. He's like probably like top 3 players right now in the NBA, like how he's playing.
So the Suns could still be dealing with injuries, but it doesn't mean that they get injured this round, right? So it could still be that they get past the Clippers somehow.
I think they should get past the Clippers because the Clippers just don't have enough weapons to score enough points. Like, apart from Kawhi Leonard, like, who can you rely on? Honestly, like, what's Westbrook going to give to the table? Norman Powell, I guess he'll be starting at the 2 over George. That Batum is old. Zubac is not a scorer. He's not playing fourth quarters either because they go small ball with Batum at the center. Or Plumlee. Like, I just don't see enough guys that can shoot enough to beat the Suns, who are a scoring team. Like, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant are the 2 of the best scorers at their respective positions in the league. Like, I just don't think they can score enough to keep up with the Suns. But I think the defense could be something good. And Kawhi Leonard, like I said, is playing amazing basketball. So this is more like testament to Kawhi Leonard. And that's why I was like wondering if it's going to be like Clippers in 2, like, sorry, Suns in 6, like Clippers only get 2 wins. Or somehow Kawhi has like just one of his best series ever and gets to 7 and the Suns just squeak it out. Or Chris Paul gets injured at some point, KD gets injured at some point, and the whole series gets like rewritten.
That's just over.
Yeah, like, but maybe the Suns are already up like, you know, 3-1 and then the Clippers, you know, catch up in some way and then the Suns just get by in game 7 or something. But I just see something happening. That's why I got Suns in 7.
It's very possible that the Clippers basically just allow Devin Booker and KD to shoot and then shut down everyone else. Because, like you say, the Suns don't really have any depth anymore. So the question becomes, can the Suns win 4 games based on Devin Booker and KD scoring 70-plus points every game?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They need to do that for 4 games.
Yeah, exactly. I also don't see anyone stopping Kawhi Leonard. Well, on the other side, I think Kawhi Leonard can stop a Devin Booker or Kevin Durant like in a playoff series when playoff time comes and Kawhi Leonard is switched on. I think Kawhi Leonard can play. And that's why if Paul George was playing, I probably would pick the Clippers right now in this state with the Suns' no depth. I would have probably picked the Clippers in 7. Like, I think it's that close. But without Paul George, I just don't... Because Paul George is a great two-way player. Like, I just don't think there's enough scoring from the Clippers too. Like, it depends on what we get from Westbrook, to be honest, as well. Like, can Westbrook give you anything as, like, a second option?
He can, definitely.
You reckon?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we should talk about this, right? Because about 60% of my text to you involves either Westbrook or Kyrie Irving.
Some type of hate when Westbrook was wearing a Lakers uniform. And celebration
even after he got
when he got off.
Exactly. I have to say that thank God they got Westbrook. Like, thank God, because I think he's actually been valuable to that team.
Okay.
And especially even with Paul George, right?
Yeah.
And now that Paul George is gone, like, thank God they have that number 2.
Yeah.
at least Westbrook is generating some offense.
Yeah.
Is giving some sort of pressure on the defense of the other opponents, right?
Yeah. But like, that's why I think health is such an important thing. Like, if the Suns are healthy, I don't think anyone can really stop, like in the Western Conference, that is. I don't think any team is strong enough to stop Booker and Durant from scoring 70 points, 80 points on any given night. Like, Durant's that good. Like, I think in every game he's played, they're like 20-1, like in games he's played, like since I don't know, whatever, February or something. In the games he's played. So he hasn't played that many games, but in every game he has played, they're unbeatable, basically. But they just don't have depth. And if KD goes out for any amount of time, like even when he's off the court, like,
I feel like we are disrespecting Aiden a little bit, just the fact that we kind of treat him as like a neutral, or that somehow, you know, Zubac is going to neutralize him. Zeller, is it Zeller? Who's the other? Plumlee. Who they have?
Plumlee.
That Plumlee is going to just somehow neutral. Although, I have to say, Plumlee is playing really well. I'm liking Plumlee a lot.
Plumlee is going to start fourth quarters over Zubac for sure. Like, Zubac will start, but Plumlee will play way more fourth quarter minutes than Zubac just because of his athleticism.
And I like the fact that the thing with Plumlee, he's a tough player, right? He's definitely really tough. And the thing with Aiden is that he's not really a post-up player. He's like this finesse player, even though he should be like dunking over everyone.
Yeah. I mean, Aiden is big and strong enough to dominate smaller lineups, but he's not strong enough to beat guys that similar size to him, sort of thing. And Zubac is a very, very aggressive physical player. Like, definitely slow, but very physical.
So is Plumlee.
And Plumlee is good too, but he's a bit shorter and he's a lot faster. So, like, I think it's a great, like, that's what I was saying. Like, this is a great matchup for the Suns. Mm. And if Paul George was in this game, I think it might be curtains for the Suns. Mm. But because Paul George isn't here, it swings the other way. But I'm not confident KD can play every single game. That might just give Clippers enough chance to win a few games. But I think we both agree Suns are probably going to, squeak by.
To recap, we both agree Suns are going to get through. Definitely, this is one of my sort of star series. I definitely want to watch this series.
Mm, for sure.
Okay, we've got the third seeded Kings versus the sixth seeded Warriors. Oh boy, okay.
Oh boy.
Luckily, we don't have any. Do you have any Suns or Nuts? Do you have any Kings fans?
Definitely no Kings fans.
Yeah, definitely no Kings fans after this. So we both picked the Warriors over the Kings. Can you explain to me your pick here? Tell the listeners.
I got the Warriors and I got the champion. I got the defending champions in five. All right, I got the defending champions in five. I think you should put some respect on the defending champions. They haven't been healthy all season. Steph Curry, when he plays, is the best guard in the NBA, or at least top two guards in the NBA, Luka and Steph. I'm joking. It's not Luka, but anyway, Steph is probably the best.
Luka's not a guard.
Well, no, fine.
He's like two power forwards combined together in girth.
In width. What's Zion then?
In other words, he's half a Zion.
Zion is two Lucas.
Oh my god. Did you see that video of Zion like in the last game?
Dunking. Yeah, he always does that.
No, but do you see that video? He's not looking very good, man. Barely looks like he can like jump.
Well, the important thing, at least for the organization, the Pelicans, is Gale, as we, call it first name basis. They gave Zion a really specific contract that he has to have like pass weigh-ins and everything, like a boxer. So if he doesn't pass weigh-ins, then they could nullify the contract, or they could just trade him. And another team could just take their chances on Zion, to be honest, and just take on the $150 million, whatever the deal is. Because at the end of the day, there's no risk. You just cut him if he's not making if he's not performing to the contract's clauses, and you don't lose anything. It's like an NFL contract. It's not fully guaranteed.
The other thing that just came out today was that I saw this quote by Larry Nance Jr. Larry Nance Jr. saying like Zion needs to find someone that he can trust and like that can console him, or that you know, to work out whatever issues he's having. Like, what the fuck is that about?
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I think it's like, if you watch him play, he's obviously very, very gifted. Like, Pelicans with Zion is a championship team, honestly. If KD somehow said like, hey, I want to trade to Pelicans and like trade BI for KD, they're a championship favorite with Zion, a healthy Zion. But that doesn't seem like it's happening anytime soon. So anyway, so the Kings have been healthy all season. Warriors have not. My bottom line for choosing the Warriors in five is Steph is healthy. Klay is playing better. When Steph was out, Klay was playing really well. Wiggins is back, and Wiggins was dealing with a family issue. It wasn't a health issue. It was a family issue. We made a joke that I think one of his family members got vaccinated, so he had to stop everything.
That was low blow.
What?
but very funny, but extremely funny. It was definitely a low blow, and also extremely funny.
You sheep, you fucking sheep.
I'm sorry. Okay.
And Wiggins is an important member of this team, and Draymond has been playing really well as well for this team, and Kuminga has been coming on as of late, and Looney is a solid pillar of this team on defense, and Jordan Poole is a part of them. But Gary Payton is back. I don't know what's happening with whatever injury he had before, I forgot what he had, but it was like possibly season-ending injury, but he's playing through it, so I don't know how healthy he really is. But Gary Payton too on the Warriors team is inspiring to see.
There's only so much I can say here because I've got the Warriors ultimately winning in seven.
Right, so a really tough series.
A tough series, but ultimately I picked the Warriors as well. I guess the difference is that I'm saying that the Kings are legit, and that it wasn't a fluke that they got the third seed.
I'm not saying it's a fluke. I'm just saying they're going up against the worst. This is why every single team was angling to get the sixth seed, because the Kings are not battle tested. They don't know what postseason basketball is like. This is the first time they've played since 2005 or something, when it was Mike Bibby and Ron Artest, and I don't know, other players. Like, they're not battle tested, and this is against the defending champions. I think there's a difference. Like, if this was, say, the Lakers with a new team, maybe you could say the Kings should win that game because the Kings have been playing so well all season long, and the Lakers are still finding the footing with a new sort of lineup, a new team that after trade. But this is the Warriors. They've been playing together for almost a decade at this point. They're a dynasty. They still are in the dynasty, in my opinion, because they just won the championship last year. So I just find it hard to believe that this Kings... I think everyone, and most people would agree, Warriors would be favorite in the series.
Moving on.
Your favorite team.
My favorite series. Number two, Vancouver Grizzlies. Number seven, the LA Lakers. 2023 champions.
Minneapolis Lakers.
Okay, who'd you go? Oh my God, Jesus Christ. You picked the Grizzlies. You picked the Grizzlies in seven.
Spoiled it.
So let me ask you, why do you give the Lakers three games here? Given that you shit on the Lakers all season, you don't believe in the Lakers.
I think the Lakers are definitely better than their record. But given, I think ultimately the Lakers always play to the competition. So if it's against an injury-riddled Timberwolves team without Rudy Gobert, they'll play to that level. If they're versing the second seed Grizzlies, who have dealt with a lot of injuries and haven't played as well recently, and Ja has been in and out of the lineup recently, they'll play to that level. Like, I think the Lakers are capable of playing to any team's level and rising to it. But I think in this long series, I think the Grizzlies, not that they have as much veteran leadership, as we know they don't have any veteran leadership, especially with Adams out. Like, they don't really have that backbone to hold this team accountable and say, hey, we need to play this way. We need to be mature and play disciplined in this way. They don't have that backbone anymore, and they'll have to rely on Ja a lot more. But I think the sums of the parts, the talent that they have on the starting five is greater than what the Lakers can. And AD is the best player in the series. Like, don't get me wrong. I think AD is by far the best player in the series. But I just don't know why I'm going to get AD consistently. And I think Ja, who's probably the second best player in the series, is going to be consistently better than any of the other Laker players. And I also think Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, maybe not Dylan Brooks so much, but at least Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson are also like maybe the third and fourth best player in this in the series, give or take. LeBron, you'll have to put in somewhere. But I think Grizzlies as a whole is just a better talented unit. And I think they've played enough together, basketball together now, that they'll get past the Lakers, who are still a little bit inconsistent between games. And you saw that like versus the Wolves, where they just make terrible mistakes. They can't rely on guys like D'Angelo Russell, who should be the third best player. They have to rely on minimum players like Schroeder and Reeves to pull them out of tight situations. And I don't think that's a recipe for success in the long run. And that's why I think Lakers are good. I think they're going to play to the Grizzlies level, but I just think the Grizzlies have enough to get past the Lakers, like just. But maybe I could be swayed, because I do like the Lakers. I definitely think the Lakers are better than the record. Like I don't think the Lakers are a legit 7th seed. They could have been the 6th or 5th seed. And, you know, I wouldn't have, you know what I mean?
So I've got the Lakers in 7 games here. And I think your analysis is spot on. And I really can't give you a reason why necessarily that the Lakers should be the one advancing rather than the Grizzlies. So instead, I want to make a plea to the NBA right now. Which is...
Please.
Look, no one wants to watch the Grizzlies in the second round, okay?
It should be a crime.
Warriors, Lakers is where it's at. No one wants the Kings and the Grizzlies. Who wants to watch that? No one.
But to be honest, Grizzlies and Warriors would be entertaining as well.
That's true. I have to agree. That's true. But only because of, you know, Dylan Brooks and some of the other characters on the Grizzlies. But really, if it was the Warriors, Lakers, that'd be all time. LeBron, Steph. Part 5. That's what we want. That's what we want, okay? So please, Adam Silver, I know you're listening to this, okay? I know you're listening to this. Look, we don't know where Larry O'Brien is. He was part of our show. We haven't seen him in months.
He was a contributing member of our show. Like,
we literally named our show after him, and we have no idea where he is.
He was a producer.
He's not showing up. He was a producer.
He's producing our show. Oh, my God.
He hasn't returned any of our texts, okay? Give the proper instructions to the refs. Make it happen. Give the fans what they want. It's been testing a couple of years, okay? Give the fans what they want. Look, I'll leave it at that.
I think from a basketball point of view, though, like, Anthony Davis has to show up. He's, to me, by far the best player on this team. He might not be, but he might make second team All NBA, even though he just played only like 53 games this season or whatever. Like, he's that good. He's that dominant. He's there's no one on it. Also, Jaren Jackson might win All Defensive Player of the Year, but there's no guarding him. I saw that game where they played like in March or something like that. AD was dominating Jaren Jackson. There was nothing Jaren Jackson could do when AD was attacking the paint, shooting floaters, hitting his threes, hitting bank shots. He played like a possessed Tim Duncan, like that was like flying to the rim. He was playing like KG, basically. So Anthony Davis,
Triple J is prone to foul trouble.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no one, there's no depth behind Jaren Jackson. There's no big to back up Jaren Jackson. So like Anthony Davis has to take advantage. He has to be dominant. I think there's enough Grizzly players to be physical with Anthony Davis, and I don't trust Anthony Davis to be physical for seven games. That's why I got the Grizz pulling out. But if there's any chance the Lakers have to advance, we know LeBron James is gonna bring it, but Anthony Davis has to be like a superstar. He has to be top 3 NBA player, which I've seen when he plays hard. Like, he is a top 3 NBA player, which is why I give the Lakers a number. Like, I got the Lakers in 7, because if Anthony Davis was somewhat injured or, you know, not as 100%, then I got the Grizzlies winning in like 5 probably. But AD is healthy. He's playing hard. I'm encouraged by how he's played down the stretch. And yeah, I think there's no one the Grizzlies, including the defensive play, the so-called defensive, I don't agree with this, but the so-called defensive player of the year, stopping him.
No, I agree. And that's why I'm not even going to try to analyze it, because I agree with your points here. And that's why instead I just appeal to Adam Silver, please.
Please.
Do the right thing.
Refs.
Do please. The right thing.
Turn a blind yeah, eye.
You know what to do.
What if they'll just foul out Jaren Jackson, right? That's like the probably obvious play to not make it so obvious.
Well, you definitely foul out Jaren Jackson, but I need them to get those fouls ready, get those fouls going immediately.
I think like when Dylan Brooks gets emotional, like they should like tee Dylan Brooks early as well. So then like—
Early, control the game.
Yeah, like so that, like refs need to control the game early, right? Like they need to control the tempo. They tee up Dylan Brooks and like Ja gets fired up, and then he like when he dunks on someone, he stare down on like the too small thing, they should tee him up as well.
Tee him.
For that like celebration.
But Triple J I think is key. You gotta give him two fouls in the first quarter.
Right, you have to.
Right? You gotta take him out of the game basically.
I don't want
a situation where Triple J is in the fourth quarter playing with five.
If he even
fouls.
Touches That's AD, too late. That should be a foul call.
Foul.
Instant foul. Yeah.
As soon as Austin Reeves gets the ball, blow the whistle.
What did I do? Blocking foul.
Blocking foul. I'm 15 feet away.
That's a T. You're out of here.
Joking aside, Lakers do draw a lot of fouls because they go aggressively to the net.
Which is why I think D'Lo is going to be a liability in the series. He's prone to be like allergic to the paint, and you've got physical players right. that are going to be testing him. Like I honestly don't know how many minutes D'Lo is going to be benched, honestly, because he's the opposite of a physical player. He does not go foul calls, he does not drive into the paint very much. He's a very pass first deep three kind of guy, and when you got Ja Morant guarding him, like I honestly don't think Ja Morant would guard him that much, past the three-point line. They just let him run in and get blocked by Jaren Jackson. Like, he does not possess a threat getting to the free throw line. So look for Schroeder to play more, because Schroeder's much more physical getting to the paint. Reeves will play a lot of minutes. Troy Brown will play a lot of minutes. But yeah, I think D'Lo is, unfortunately, I love D'Lo, but he's not right for the series. He's not got the right game for the series.
The thing with D'Lo is he's playing for a contract at this point, right? If the Lakers get bounced, it's probably because D'Lo couldn't really provide any sort of contribution. And I think he'll be in serious trouble in terms of landing any sort of max.
Yeah, if they win the series, I think he'll get paid over 100 mil. If they lose the series, and yes, I think he'll get blamed for it, you could really see him lose a lot, tens of millions of dollars. He should be getting close to a $100 million deal based on how he played down the stretch with the Lakers when he got traded to the Lakers, back to the Lakers. He was playing like better than Poole. And Poole's a $120 million man, but Poole's much younger. So you'd be modest and say 90 mil easily. 90 mil would be a bargain for D'Lo, like the way he played. But yes, if he plays terrible in the series and they get knocked out, if they don't even get to six games or something, I really could see D'Lo... Yeah, playing close to like a mid-level even, like a prove-it sort of deal, a prove-it one-year deal.
$50 million,
no,
$60 million.
He might even lose out on that much. No one will give him
really?
A
multi-year. Really? Wow.
I reckon he'll be on a prove-it one-year deal, because who would trust him like in the playoffs?
Yeah, I dig that. I agree.
But if they win the series and D'Lo shows out, then I think the money's going to be on the table. He might be up for a $100 million contract, and the Lakers might have to give it to him.
Yeah. All right. Eastern Conference.
Oh, this is the tough series. These are the tough. Actually, weirdly, you got all seven games, like pretty much all seven game series in the West, and then you got like blowouts in the East. So you think it's really top heavy in the East, is what you're saying?
Absolutely top heavy in the East. Mm. Well, okay, this is kind of surprising. Give me your number one seeded Bucks versus the number eighth seeded Heat, Miami Heat.
It's tough because I like Bam. Like, Jimmy aside, Jimmy's going to be great. Like, I'm not even going to talk about Jimmy because Jimmy's going to be great. But the second best player on this team is Bam. And Bam, in the two play-in series, shot terribly. Like, I think he amassed, like, a total of, like, 15 points in two games. He needs to score at least 20 points a game for the Heat to have any chance in the series. And he wasn't tested. Like, Chicago, who do they have, like, that can really test at the center position? Now he's going up against Brook Lopez, Bobby Portis, Giannis Antetokounmpo, even Drew Holiday. Can he even get, like, if Drew Holiday switches on him, is that like a gimme layup? Bam over Drew Holiday?
He better be scoring on Drew Holiday.
I don't think so. I think Drew Holiday is that physical that he can stand up. So I think there's that many weapons defensively for the Bucks to just stifle the Heat. And Heat are like such a hot and cold team. Like, no pun intended. Like, they go into these dry patches where they can't even hit a three-point shot. And then other times they're just on fire. So, like, I'm counting on those on fire moments for them to get to two games. But I honestly could see this either being a sweep or being a five game. I might change this, to be honest. Like, I haven't fully decided, but six would be the limit, like the max. The Bucks would, you know.
But you got to change it before the game starts.
Yeah, of course. I'm changing it now, sort of thing, like after what you say.
Okay.
Depending on what you say.
Right now, as of right now, you got the Bucks in six.
Easy six, though. Easy six. Like, there'll be blowouts and stuff. And yeah, there'll be some games that the Heat will steal, but yeah.
So for me, this is going to be a sweep. And quite simply, it's nothing to do with the Heat. It's more to do with the Bucks. I feel like the Bucks are ready. They don't feel the Heat are their match, and they're not going to, you know, pussy around with the Heat and stretch this series, right? Yeah, it's got to be dominate, and then let's rest. Get ready for the next series, right?
Yeah. I think Miami is a tough place to play.
It depends. I would say that you take advantage of after the half, where for the first 4 minutes, there's actually no first fans. First quarter.
Traffic, though. Come on. Miami has the worst traffic in the world. Everyone knows that.
Right. And what you're saying, they literally leave the arena at halftime?
Well, you know, there's the bar at halftime and the line to the toilets, man.
And I would say if the Bucks, you know, try to get like a three-point lead going down the stretch and then, you know, therefore, the fans start leaving with like 6 minutes to go.
Okay.
And
okay. I've changed my pick. I'm giving it Bucks in five because I think Jimmy Butler can pull out one game.
Okay. That's respect. No, that's a smart move.
Jimmy Butler is literally playing like top five, but he's like top five basketball player right now. Like, he's playing that well.
Yeah. I respect that pick. That's also a good pick. Bucks in five is also good. I've got Bucks in four. Next series, Cavs versus the Knicks. Oh boy, this is going to be a good series.
Look, at the end of the day, no Julius Randle. Well, Julius Randle said he'll be back for the first game, but...
He said he'll be back.
But come on, he's rushing it. That's an ankle injury. It looked bad. I just watched that game when he turned his ankle. It looked bad. Ankle injuries can be finicky as well. Take it from me, from Nets fan, seeing like what D-Will had to go through with all his ankle injuries. It's... And Julius Randle is like probably three times his weight than D-Will is. Like, I think he'll be good, but without Julius Randle, this team doesn't, like... Yeah, Brunson's going to win some games for sure. I'm giving some respect to Jalen Brunson. I think Cavs are going to win this in six. But, there's no other scoring option apart from Brunson, and quickly, for them to be the Cavs. And Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, and that scoring output. And Evan Mobley's nominee is up for Defensive Player of the Year. And Jared Allen is even a better defender, in my opinion, than Evan Mobley. Like... This is a stacked Cavs team, just in terms of talent, that is. And if Julius Randle's playing, maybe that'd be a different story. If Julius Randle's full strength, yeah, maybe I'd give more weight to the Knicks, but I can't do it with Julius Randle. I'll have to see. Like, I might be wrong because after game one, Julius Randle's playing really well and healthy, then I might be like, oh, crap, yeah, you know, Knicks might win this. But I'm predicting that Julius Randle's not going to be 100%. So Cavs in six.
Interesting. So I've got this game going to six as well, but I've picked the Knicks.
What is it? Like, is it, you think Brunson's that good? He, like, Donovan Mitchell is probably going to be first team All-NBA.
It's this fact that the last time I watched Brunson play Donovan Mitchell, he owned Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, that's true.
He fucking owned him.
But I think the difference is Rudy Gobert was out. He was not like a member of the Utah Jazz, basically, even though he was playing. And in the Cleveland, you got Evan Mobley and Jared Allen patrolling the paint. That is a very different beast. And Brunson, yes, he was dominating. He was dominating Donovan Mitchell. It was taking him out to dinner and just giving him seconds. I don't even know what the analogy is.
Give him seconds.
But this Cavs defense is legit. I just don't know if Brunson will have the same effectiveness against. Because part of Brunson's game is his ability to get to the paint, attack the paint, get physical with bigger guys. Like, that's part of his game. But I don't know, man. Jared Allen, he does not blink. He will block that shot.
How about RJ Barrett? Emmanuel Quickly.
I like Emmanuel Quickly. I don't think RJ Barrett is any good, though.
Interesting, interesting.
What's RJ Barrett scoring this? Like, he's so invisible in the games. Like, Emmanuel Quickly is taking over games when Jalen Brunson is, being subbed out. They play together a lot. Julius Randle obviously has been dominant.
Like, but Josh Hart.
Josh Hart's good. Yeah, that's the lineup that I prefer, though. I prefer if they even went small with Quickly, Brunson, Hart, Randle, and then just play Robinson in some kind of center position some way. Like, I don't know if you play... I guess you play Julius Randle at the center and then Randle, Barrett, Grimes. You got some depth.
Obi Toppin.
You definitely... Knicks definitely better depth than the Cavs do, for sure. Because you don't know what Caris LeVert and Isaac Okoro... Isaac Okoro is going to be out. So you don't really know what Caris LeVert and Ricky Rubio are going to give you with depth. So Knicks depth is good, but... Without Randle, I don't see how that working. Like, is Obi Toppin going to challenge Evan Mobley or Jared Allen in the paint?
No, but those are you're naming the Cavs top players, right? The Cavs have other...
Do you think RJ Barrett's going to score 20 points this series? Because I feel like to make up for Julius Randle maybe not being 100%, RJ Barrett has to be able to score 20 points per game with Jalen Brunson's 25 points per game sort of thing. Like, I feel like that's what you're banking on for the Knicks to win.
No, I think the Knicks would have just rely on their bench, rely on their depth. So it's not going to be about RJ Barrett taking over or, compliment. He'll be a complimentary player.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it.
You don't feel it?
No.
You think Danny Green is going to go off? Ricky Rubio?
I don't care. I honestly don't care. I think Mitchell and Garland are good enough to score enough points. I think Garland and Mitchell are good enough to score enough points, and Mobley and Allen are good enough to stop any paints in the paint. You're right. Cavs have no depth. Like, Knicks have so much depth compared to the Cavs. But we're talking about star power here. And if Julius Randle isn't 100%, then I can't give it to the Knicks. I might be wrong. Julius Randle might be 100%. So, you know what I mean? Like, sure. With Julius Randle 100%,
I don't think he'll be 100%.
I don't think he's 80%.
No. And, but what we know is that, if you're 80% on a tips team, then that means you're like 150%.
Then you're playing at least 45 minutes then.
You're playing double overtime.
We need you out there. Coach, my foot.
My foot
hurts.
It's turning black. Black. I think I need to amputate it.
That just means you need to play more minutes. Okay, fine. Go see a trainer, get it amputated, and then come back.
No, I definitely don't think Julius Randle will be 100%. I think, like you said, injuries like that, it takes a little bit of time, right?
And you're banging in the paint against Mobley and Allen.
And it's like playoff intensity and all that.
Yeah, I can see the Knicks getting, maybe I should change it to seven, because you're right, the Knicks' depth is really good and Cavs have no depth, but... who knows? I might be wrong. LeVert, I like LeVert. He hasn't played well this season, but LeVert could be good. You know, he has shown ability to be good. So maybe I'll change it. Well, why do you have so little faith in just because Jalen Brunson is better than Donovan Mitchell, in your opinion? It's going to be a 6-game series for the Knicks.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, that's exactly it. It's simple as that.
I'm changing to seven anyway.
God, you fucking bastard. Wait, seven for who? For the Knicks?
No, for the Cavs.
Oh, for the Cavs. Okay.
I'm keeping a Cavs still, but I'm giving the Knicks an extra game. I think it'll be seven.
Okay, no, respect. That could definitely be, yeah, that could be right. Okay, let's get personal now. Let's all calm down and get personal.
Why do you have to hurt me like this?
This is a very special series. the next series. The third seeded 76ers versus the sixth seed, your beloved Brooklyn Nets!
Brooklyn.
How do they announce the team? How did the announcers
probably
say
something like that? Yeah, some kind of shouting like, or it's like, maybe, I think it was like, Brooklyn Nets, something like that, maybe.
Give it to me.
No, I'm not sure.
The Sixers versus
Brooklyn Nets. I think they might be trading, I don't know, Joey Harris for Kuzma. Get Kuzma on the Brooklyn Nets.
That's not a bad trade. That's not a bad trade.
I'm joking.
But why would...
Didn't we never pass to Kuzma?
Walk me through the series. Walk me through. Let me just give you my quick take, and then I'll give you the floor, okay? Because I have nothing else to add.
Take.
It's going to be a sweep. 4-0. Sixers, 4-0.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not far off from you. Similarly, I think the Sixers are going to make mincemeat of the Nets. I think it's going to be 4-5. That's because no one can guard Joel. Joel in a 7-game series is not unbeatable, but against a team of the Nets size who's been criticized all season long with having no true center, Claxton showed up in a lot of games. He's good enough to hold his own, but there's no depth behind Claxton. So when Claxton's out or gets in foul trouble trying to guard Joel, it's over. Joel's going to score 30 points a night. James Harden's going to score like probably 20 and 10 assists. And like 10 rebounds, it's too much for the Nets to overcome. Tobias Harris is probably better than any player on the Nets, honestly. Put Joel Embiid with any sentence with the Nets players it's just crazy. Joel Embiid is so much better than any player on the Nets can possibly have. And even if they double team Joel Embiid and try to take him out of the game, they have enough players. They have Tobias Harris. They got Tyrese Maxey. They got James Harden. They probably got some other players that like can just score just because they're not getting guarded properly. I think they just got too many weapons. Having said that, I think the Nets could pick up a game just because they play well as a team. They know their strengths, and I think the Sixers might be a little bit like too full of themselves, like that much of a favorite. I think the Nets could still maybe the first game, like just like back in 2019, they might steal the first game. Just because they got solid coaching, they got a solid team, they got solid defensive players that can make the game plan like sort of like mess up the game, like Sixers game plan. But then after that, I got the Sixers. Sixers should roll past the Nets. This is probably the easiest series we had to talk about. Because at least with the Heat, you got Jimmy Butler, who's a superstar. There's no superstar in the Nets that can. This is probably the only playoff team. In the entire playoffs that doesn't have a so-called superstar on the team.
What's Ben Simmons doing?
Ben Simmons is wearing a fluffy jumper, the fluffiest jumper that he can find, the darkest sunglasses, and he's going to be doling out high five, quality bench high fives. He's going to be clapping. He's going to be high-fiving. He's going to be golf clapping.
He's going to be a great time.
He's going to be...
His courtside seats are awesome.
Yeah, nice courtside seats right next to actual athletes. he's going to be enjoying himself. So, look, I think the Nets have a good future because they have such a solid team and like players that would be great second options, third options on championship teams. They have a bunch of them. But as a whole, they don't have a superstar they can rely on. They're going to, even if they have a lead going to the fourth, they're not going to be able to hang on to it because Mikal Bridges, as good as he is, and he probably is the closest thing to a superstar, he's not a superstar. He's not like, he's not that good to take over a game and just like kill you. He might do it for one game, but that's even one game is a tall order sort of thing. So yeah, I probably agree with the sweep, but just because I'm backing my team, I'll give him one for benefit of the doubt.
Let me ask you this. If Nick Nurse becomes available in the summer.
Ooh. Getting hard. Getting hard for Nick Nurse.
Yeah. Okay, just calm down, okay?
Nick Nurse against...
Put your hands where I can see them, okay? If Nick Nurse becomes available, and there's a good chance he will be, would you let Jacques Van Gogh Nurse?
I think it's almost criminal what Jacques Vaughn is doing to Cam Thomas, though. Like, Cam Thomas, every time he gets a start, is scoring 40 points per game.
Whatever.
Well, I'm not saying Nick Nurse would do anything different because Nick Nurse is almost famous for putting players in the doghouse that, like, don't perform. Cam Thomas does need a coach that can unlock him in some way, because being able to score 40 points is not like a common occurrence. Like, this isn't the G League. Like, Cam Thomas is scoring like 40 points against actual NBA teams with actual NBA players, and not even talking about like the bench, like against the bench. He's scoring like against actual starters. He scored 40 points against the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George playing.
Given the roster and all the sort of ups and downs of this roster, I don't think it's a coincidence that Jacques Vaughn is sitting out Cam Thomas. I think they've seen something that we have not.
I'm not saying that it's a bad... I think it's work ethic to be... like, it comes down to... Right. I think Jacques Vaughn's seeing... Because he's talked about other guys that have been, like, consummate professionals. But a guy like Cam Thomas, who's shown his ability to shoot and score, you're right. I think there's something in the background, like his work ethic, maybe his deference to being coached and stuff like that. We've seen in the past when he eye-rolled Steve Nash saying he needs to pass more. Like, these are sort of attitude problems that Jacques Vaughn is probably seeing and surfacing in Cam Thomas's attitude to being coached, perhaps, and that's why Jacques Vaughn's sitting him. But like, who knows? Because the thing is with me is, it's not so much that a different coach would not sit Cam Thomas, but it's what Josiah think, Joe and Karasai think ultimately. And when the Nets get swept, if the Nets get swept, which is very likely, they're going to look at the totality of the season, what Jacques Vaughn has done, and say, why didn't we play Cam Thomas more in these instances, in these moments when we could have won more games and had a better seed? Why didn't we do this in the playoffs when we were down by this much and put in Cam Thomas in when we needed injection of points, for example? I'm not saying Cam Thomas is going to be the reason Jacques Vaughn gets fired, but it's going to add to the resume as to why Jacques Vaughn might not be retained when there is a better caliber coach out there like Nick Nurse.
Is it possible to hire Nurse and then downgrade back to assistant, or is that not? It's not a joke, I'm just asking.
You can't catch a break. He finally gets the interim, is like...
On the same salary, okay? Has that ever happened before?
I assume so.
It's like, Jack, we need you to change your lockers.
Oh, man.
Has that happened? I mean... But anyway, I'm putting it out there. So wait, you didn't answer. Are you saying yes to Nurse if that can happen?
No, I'm saying no to Nurse just because Jacques Vaughn just like, he just got hired and he's done a pretty good job, to be honest. And I think the players do love him except Cam Thomas. And if it's about saving face, then maybe... You could trade Cam Thomas this offseason for something low, like, because you've shown no trust in him, and other teams are just going to say, like, well, you don't play him, why should we even trade for him? What value does he have?
Right.
But, like, I think any Nets fan that watches him knows he's got liabilities, but he's also got great strengths. And, like, I think it's a bit of a shame that we don't see a team without a superstar play a player that can score 40 points on nights when he starts. Like, it's just he's a crazy, crazy enigma of a player that I haven't seen in a long, long, long time maybe going back to like Brandon Jennings or something like that.
I feel like I'm giving a lot more rope to the Nets front office and management in instances like this, where I feel like, yeah, like there's probably a reason, and I trust whatever that reason is that they're not playing him.
But they have to get something out of him because he's a talented player. There's no reason to send him on the bench. He's not solely a bench player, you know what I mean? Like, as in bench players, right, not playing him at all, sort of thing. He's much, much, much better than that type of... And also, he doesn't provide any value because, unlike Theo Pinson, he doesn't cheer, he doesn't smile. He provides no energy off the bench. So, like, if that's a role that you're designating him, he gives zero. He gives zero fucks.
Maybe that's a problem. Like, when he's, like, on the bench, he's, like, wearing, the like, a Sixers jersey.
He's, like, scouring. He's, like, when other players, like, celebrating, players jumping up, he's, like, just, like, mean mugging, like, Jacques Vaughn. No, he's not. I'm joking. He's just expressionless.
Okay, let's wrap it up with the last series. I have no interest in this series. I'm going to put an asterisk here to say I will not probably watch any games. The Celtics versus the Hawks.
I don't trust the Sixers. I don't trust the Hawks at all to win any game. There's nothing the Hawks can do to beat the Celtics. Seriously, can we think of one department where the Hawks are better than the Celtics? Rebounding, defense, scoring.
Trae Young's going to get absolutely destroyed. The Celtics have too many players that can neutralize Trae Young.
Oh, I mean, they have so many like point guards as like defensive point guards as well. Like, forget Marcus Smart and Derek White, who like, you know, defensive. Even Malcolm Brogdon is like a really good, solid. And Tatum can too. Like, Tatum could guard John Collins, you know, like, because like the Hawks dominated the Bulls the Heat in that first match. The Hawks dominated the Heat in the first matchup because Capella had like 20 rebounds and Collins was like dominating the paint. But you have to verse Robert Williams and Al Horford.
And on the reverse, who's like Trey guarding? Can Trey guard any of the guards that you just named? He can't guard anybody.
Well, maybe Smart. Maybe Smart, because Smart doesn't score that much, so Trey can guard him. But yeah, you're right. If they change the game plan and make Smart the first option, Trey would get demolished. Like Trey wouldn't be able to stand against Smart backing up against Trey.
Okay, Kane. We've made our picks. I would have to say that I'm feeling very confident.
Lock it in? Are we locking? I'm happy.
Oh, I'm happy as well.
We have enough different picks. Because the first round is the most important. Because that's the most amount of points you can get. Like, this is the most amount of games. So it's going to be the most amount of points. So you have to nail your first round to have any. So in the previous times we've done this, you've just come out of the gates poorly. to put it lightly.
Okay.
But our picks are so different that we're gonna find out pretty quickly who's gonna win, who's gonna lose. Because like you do so badly in the first round that I feel bad for you. The game's over already. I'm like, what am I even doing? Like, it's like this is the NBA and you're playing chess.
Donovan Mitchell's like scoring 50 points. Julius Randle's like lying on the floor.
Take me out, coach. Take me out. No. Keep going. You got this.
Help. Timeout. Backcourt violation.
No timeout. Coach, help. We haven't used a single timeout all game. It's the fourth quarter. Keep playing. You got him on the ropes.
I'm tired. Please, coach. I'm so tired.
My other foot's broken. Please, coach.
Anyway, until next time.
Goodbye, everyone. Good playoffs.
God bless.
See you next week.
See ya.
boys.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.